Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you to the service today, and we will get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity's mission and foundation statements. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, November the 8th. The key word is healing, and the affirmation is, I embrace the healing flow of divine life. If my body experiences any kind of health challenge, I turn within to release all fear and all concern, as I affirm that illness is not part of my true identity. I remember that wholeness is my birthright. As a spiritual being, I surrender any anxiety as I fill my consciousness with healing thoughts. My mind's eye sees each cell of my body aglow with the energy of divine life. In prayer, I express appreciation for all of my body's marvelous functions. I commit to taking time to bless my body with rest, exercise, and good nutrition. I speak affirming words of truth to encourage my body's healing response. I give thanks for the healing that I know is already on its way to me. I am grateful to receive healing and know wholeness. And the scripture is John 10:10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Amen. And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, Helen. So before we get started, I had my lesson all prepared for today, and then looked at the news and said to myself, "Oh, wow! Maybe I need to change some things." I said, "Nah, still a lot of work that needs to be done." So I'll just go with what I originally had. But anyway, we're in part three of what's the goal here, and that's really the question: what are we really supposed to be doing here? That's what I've been my not struggle, but my quest to try to get a real answer for that question. No matter how many times we explore that question from a spiritual perspective, I wonder how many of us really continue to contemplate the question after the discussion is over. That's the real deal, all right? Because, the world right now, seems to have so many challenges pulling us our attention in one direction or another. More attractions, I think, than any of us have experienced in our lifetime. And these distractions can pull us away from our spiritual work and cause us to become lost in it all that's occurring in the world. And that's the real challenge, And yes, we may have experienced different versions of these distractions in different times in our lives, but have you ever experienced so many different distractions all at one time? Okay. And in addition to the main headliners, COVID-19, racial injustice, natural disasters, political chaos, we still have the normal human conditions that have been pulled or pushed to the background, so to speak, like joblessness and families struggling for survival and despair and loneliness and depression, especially during these times of almost isolation, that so many are going through. And then it's unfortunate these human conditions are labeled as normal. But, to paraphrase Sonia Renee Taylor, we showed her video a couple of weeks ago. She expressed, what appears to be normal is only normal because we normalize it, all right? But I think we would all agree that what we individually and collectively called normal has been shattered. So much so that we're struggling trying to figure out how to put the pieces back together. But in the process of trying to put the pieces back together, we're discovering that our greatest challenge is that the pieces no longer fit together. So therefore, a whole new paradigm has to be created. And what I think we are painfully learning is that a new paradigm cannot be created out of old paradigm thinking, right? And you probably have heard me say that quite a few times in different ways over the last few weeks. Thus the question, what's the goal here, all right? Well, there are a lot of folks investing a lot of good energy trying to figure out, what's the goal here. And the energy that's being, expended is good. I say it's good because the energy that has been stirred up around the major issues necessary to foster change is good energy, okay? Now, we are slowly, maybe even painfully learning that what was normal can no longer be, even though we will, keep trying to make it so until we finally get it, that we just can't really go back to. Look, again, we're back again, moving back from, phase three to phase two. School's going to open. Schools are not going to open. COVID is going up. They're saying there's a lot of complacency now because it's been around for so long that people are not, giving it the respect. COVID, the respect that it needs, and so it's causing it to spread. And we can see, for instance, as demonstrated in the political arena, that change is not coming easily, all right? Old forces are holding on desperately, to keep change from occurring. And actually, the battle on the political front is indicative on the battle on all fronts where change must happen. And I say must happen because what was normal, again, can no longer be allowed to survive. Change must happen. Okay? So what is our part in this paradigm shift as people of faith? We call ourselves people of faith. So, what role do we play in this paradigm shift? Well, let's explore that concept. Now, many Christians, maybe not Unity or New Thought, okay, but many Christians believe that the answer to all the world's problems will be solved with the second coming of the Christ, the second coming of Jesus. Okay. However, Paramahansa Yogananda explains in his works, The Second Coming of the Christ, that the second coming wasn't referring to Jesus returning to the earth. Okay. Let me bring up a slide. What he said is, what is necessary for the cosmic wisdom and divine perception of Jesus to speak, what is necessary to speak through each one's own experience and understanding of the infinite cosmic consciousness that was incarnate in Jesus. That will be his second coming. Now let me read that again because it's sort of, it's a thought that you have to really play with. So what is necessary is for the cosmic wisdom and divine perception of Jesus to speak through each one's own experience and understanding of the infinite Christ consciousness that was incarnate in Jesus. That will be the second coming, okay? So in order for the second coming to occur, to bring peace and harmony to the world, we individually, is what this is saying, must become willing to be the instrument through which the cosmic wisdom and divine perception of the Christ is to be administered in the world. We individually are the instruments through which the second coming must occur. And what this work, will look like will be different for each one of us, okay? Because we have different experiences. So that in whatever our experience is, it is our job to allow that second coming to percolate up and come through us. And as we talked about last week, it will require a Holy Spirit correction, okay, within the hearts and minds of each one of us. And as is explained in the book, The Disappearance of the Universe, let me bring that slide up for you. It says, in the world, success is thought of as getting a lot of people shaking their heads in agreement. But the change that is required doesn't come from heads shaking in agreement. Because change, true change, comes from being a willing instrument of truth. And truth cannot manifest in a mind that used to sing the old song of disharmony, suddenly trying to change its tune to harmony. Okay? That's the deal, all right? This old process is just not going to make that switch very easily. So truth shocks our mind into realizing that what we thought was true was not. And that realization shocks our entire system, all right? But getting to the truth of our being requires being shocked to the depth of our being, okay? I think a long time ago I started saying that if what you're hearing isn't shocking at some level, then it's really not having any impact. We'll just keep going on about our business as usual, okay? But that shock causes us to die a little bit, and we die a little bit to make room for a new aspect of ourselves to resurrect, okay? And this is where the challenge lies. We just do not want to give up the old delusional self. You have to think about that. The way you are feeling or have felt about things that are going on in the world, it's hard to say this from a typical human standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, we have to be willing to give up the way we have been judging what has been occurring. And even though we may say we want to change, what we're really saying is that we want things to happen and change out there, not in here. Okay? Now let me just pull this slide up. It says, as is explained in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. To belong to Christ means to be the embodiment of divine ideas. So we could rewrite this verse to say, anyone who has become the embodiment of divine ideas has become a new person. And let me add, has become a new person in Christ, okay? A new person in Christ consciousness. So that's what we are striving for, all right? Now, how? Why is this? Because in order to become the embodiment of divine ideas, we must be willing to allow ourselves to be emptied of our old erroneous beliefs and ideas. Now again, see, that's a challenging thought, because we're going to say to ourselves, well, I don't think what I believe is erroneous, okay? And that's the challenge for us, is that we have a deep belief in that which we believe. And it is hard for us to let go of that to make room for a new thought to come in. Again, which was, you heard me say this, you know, 100 times, that's the meaning of the Bible verse where Joseph and Mary showed up at the inn to give birth to the Christ, and they said, there was no room for you. In other words, the inn was full, but it was full of old ideas. Our inn is full of old ideas. So when we hear a divine idea, we will have a tendency to say, there's no room in the inn for you. We don't say that consciously, but we say it in our actions, in our feelings, in our thoughts, okay? So the two states of consciousness, old thought and new thought, cannot occupy the same space. And as we read in Matthew 6:24, you know this one, you cannot serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will hold on to one and despise the other, okay? And just think about that verse and how it's saying it. You know, you're hearing right now that we're talking about as true students on the path, letting go of old thought processes to take on these new spiritual ideas. But what we're doing, if we pay attention to ourselves, is we're holding on desperately to the old ideas and despising the new. We might say that we like them, but it's only an intellectual, you know, exercise we're going through. So we need to ask ourselves, am I despising what these spiritual truths are asking me? Because I do not want to let go of who I am and what I believe. Is that what I'm going through? Okay. So in Exodus 23, we read, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, having one God is how you gain this perpetual sense of being connected to the source of all things. Okay. And that sounds strange, right? Having one God is the way you gain a connection to the source of all things. We right now don't have only one God. We have many different thought processes that are sort of our gods, the directors of how we see the world and how we show up in the world, okay? So this idea of having one God means you are not trying to cling to the old while trying to usher in the new. And in this one God mindset, you're no longer conflicted, okay? Now, right now, we are conflicted. Okay? And I wish I could look out and see if you know what your faces look like right now by saying that, but we are conflicted. we're conflicted between holding on to the way that we feel now and letting go to embrace this whole new dynamic that we're learning about. So you willingly let go of the old, you know, even though you have no idea of what the next will be. That's the key here. You've got to be willing to let go of this old, having no idea what the next is going to be. And again, going back to scripture, that's being in the wilderness. Okay, when you let go of the way, what you believe now, but you really have not been able to embrace this new thought, you find yourself in the wilderness. And as we say to the greatest figures in the Bible, Moses and Jesus spent time in the wilderness. Okay, so in this new state of mind, you begin to realize that you are non-local and non-linear. Those are Deepak terms. I don't know if you remember years ago I did a talk on that. Deepak talks about how we're non-local and non-linear. We are not confined by space and time, okay? And in that state of mind, the possibilities available to you become infinite. When you realize that, you know, that again goes back to the affirmation I've been talking about, Sanjaguru taught us or teaches that you do a meditation on, I am not this body, I'm not even this mind, okay? What you're doing is you're affirming you're not an infinite being. I mean, you're not a finite being, but you are an infinite being, okay? You are non-local and non-linear. But again, that's a process. It takes work for us to get to that mindset. And with, you know, continuous prayer meditation, you will discover that you are no longer frightened by the infinite. And I think right now, many of us are unconsciously, if not consciously, frightened by the infinite. That's why we cling so much to this finite perception of ourselves and our finite perception of what is happening in the world. Okay, so you will be able to embrace it, this whole idea with renewed excitement when you are able to sort of let go. And as we said last week, let God be God in you. And remember last week we said, you cannot let go and let God be God in you and at the same time try to hold on to the you. Okay. So Jesus promised us that when we come to know this place of faith-filled awe and wonder, it will set us free. Okay. Free of that finite perception of ourselves. However, we will not be able to break loose from the chains that bind us to our old ways of thinking and being until we come to the realization that we forge the chains that bind us. And we're continuously forging the chains that are binding us. The key is, how do I let go of those chains and stop forging those chains that are binding me to my old way of thinking and old way of being? So the question is, do you want to be free? That's the question we have to answer. Do you want to be free? And, you know, or free of still being too scared to just let go and let God be God? You know, do you want to be free? You have to, these are questions in sort of that we don't really think about in that manner. You know, ask myself, do I want to be free of the old me so I can embrace the new or allow the new Christ in me to unfold, all right? But as we're striving to bring about change in the world, it's important for us to understand that the difference between us and enlightened beings is their ability to know the truth in every situation, okay? Know the truth in every situation. That's the key that we're missing, all right? So actually the practice of becoming still so that you can know the truth in every situation is something that we mostly do or do not even think about, okay? We don't think about that. Things happen, and right away, we don't think about, well, what could be the real deeper meaning in this, okay? And that's where we want to get to, that, you know, that you hear joyful things or you hear challenging things. You still want to be in a space where you're open to what is really being said here, done here, exposed here. Now, it's written in the Gospel according to Thomas that Jesus said, those who seek should not stop seeking until they find. When they find, they will be disturbed. When they are disturbed, they will marvel, and they will reign over all. Okay? So it's saying that as we're seeking these new ideas, we will be disturbed when we discover what those new concepts, those new spiritual ideas known by the enlightened folks, you know, what they know that we now need to know. Okay. So reign over all isn't referring to people and situations outside of you. When it says you will reign over all, it's referring to the power that you will have over yourself. All right. Remember, that's the most important thing. But as a saying from Jesus in the Gospel of Thomas is expressing, you must be willing to have what you know and believe, to be your truth, to be disturbed and shattered to the depth of your being. You notice what I'm saying there? So this mindset that we're in right now is not the mindset that we as so-called truth students are striving for. We are striving to move beyond that. Because as we studied last week, without the correction of the Holy Spirit, the way we are now is not going to get us into the kingdom of heaven way of thinking and being. But the question we each have to ask ourselves, you know, to even make this discussion valid, is do I care? Right? Do I care? Do you care if you can reach that kingdom of heaven consciousness? You know, do we care about being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can comprehend and embrace the purpose and glory of the kingdom of heaven within? Because caring means a willingness to undergoing a tremendous shift in your whole perspective of all that is occurring right now in the world. A shift that would give us direct access to the realm of divine ideas from which we could truly effect change in ourselves. And once we can truly effect change in ourselves, then we will be able to effect change in others. But for many, from where we are right now, that's an overwhelming, inconceivable challenge. Where we are right now gives us a sense of camaraderie, a sense of connection in our efforts to make it right, you know, all of which is good and necessary in the state of consciousness in which we find ourselves right now. Okay? But what is not good is that the way we are now and the way we are thinking about what's happening in the world could be taking us away from the work we need to do to make ourselves right. We want to make the world right, but doing that can take us away from first making ourselves right so that we can become divine instruments for change. Change that happens at the level of the heart and soul rather than at the level of the head and the ego. So as we heard in last week's lesson, you know, you will, and this is a repeat from last week, you will eventually come to realize that you are giving up nothing in exchange for everything. A state so awesome and joyous that to describe it in words is impossible. And to attain this state of being, however, you must be willing to undergo a difficult process of correction by the Holy Spirit. Okay. As we talked about, you know, last week, it is this correction by the Holy Spirit that we may be unconsciously avoiding because it would take us away from the battles that we are passionately connected to, right? And if this sounds disturbing, then we are on the right path. If it sounds disturbing that the correction that the Holy Spirit would give us would take us away from the battles that we're so passionately connected to, then we're on the right path. Because it's only when we are disturbed by hearing the patterns of truth that we can even begin to awaken, all right? And this pattern of truth will be completely different from the pattern of thought that we now follow. Again, from the Gospel of Thomas, we read, you know, I will give you what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no hand has touched, and what has not yet arisen in the human mind. So what they're saying here is that, you know, I will give you what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no hand has touched, and what has not yet arisen in human mind. Basically, that's saying that once you tap into the truth, it's not going to be anything like you've ever heard before, known before, been touched by before. All right. So what this is saying is that this, you know, that the aspects of change will occur within us and help us to become more of that which we say we are striving to be. Okay. It might be outside of the realm of what we can perceive, but not outside of what we can receive. So it might be outside of what we can perceive, but not outside of what we can receive. Okay. The idea here is to allow ourselves to be moved to a very different state of consciousness. And as we said so many times before, we cannot move ourselves to a higher state of consciousness, mainly because we have no idea what we'd be moving to. You know, when somebody says, well, I want to move to a higher state of consciousness, or if you said that and somebody said to you, well, what is that? How would you describe it? Okay? And that's the challenge for us, that we can't really describe that which we say that we want to move to. So in essence, we're in need of a guide. What we have seen, we've been calling the Holy Spirit. That's the guide we're looking for. And from the revealing word, we read that the Holy Spirit is within you with great power and wisdom, ready to be poured upon all you think, feel, say, and do when you look to it for guidance. And that is the purpose of constantly taking moments for inner reflection, what we typically call prayer and meditation. Just keep asking and listening, okay? You say, well, what should I be doing in prayer and meditation? Just keep asking and listening. However, what we each want, you know, to become aware of is that what we presently believe about prayer has been programmed deep within us, okay, within our subconscious realm of mind. It got there by a lifetime of what you have been choosing moment by moment to believe to be true in your life. And we've been affirming, praying, and meditating on these beliefs all of our lives, each of us creating our own state of mind based on whatever we have chosen to believe to be true. And it has, in a sense, become our truth and the basis for our prayers. So think about what I'm saying. So all of your life, whatever you believe to be true, that belief has integrated itself into your prayer. And so you're praying from that belief, not from a true openness to spirit, but from the dynamics tainted by what has become a deep-seated belief. So from experience, we all should have learned that when we put our beliefs in things, conditions, and events in the world, the outcomes are not always what we expected. And actually, we can never be sure of the outcome. You know, the very nature of the outcome can, you know, not always be what we want it to be. Okay? So just think how quickly our lives have changed in the last 8 months. Wow. This time last year, Pam and I were thinking about vacations and, you know, things were happening at the church, and all of a sudden, everything is different. Everything has changed. So if our feelings of well-being are entrusted in our belief in the reality of the outer dimension, then we'll always be in a state of uncertainty, okay? And if the nature of our beliefs has us consciously or unconsciously in a state of uncertainty, then it is only, you know, it's going to follow in terms of what happens in our prayers. We're going to be praying with uncertainty. So if uncertainty is the way we are in a normal situation, because we're not always sure about how the world is going to end up, then our prayer ends up having uncertainty baked into it. So basically, the source of the inharmony and uncertainty in our lives is caused by being connected to the wrong source for guidance and direction. Okay, that's the real key. I think we get most of our guidance and direction from the news, and that's not the source we want to, you know, get our direction from. We affirm over and over again, God is a source of my supply, but yet we continue to turn to the outside world as a source of our guidance. So it's not that we should ignore our desire to bring peace and harmony to the human condition, as is evident in the works of people like Harriet Tubman, okay, who was obviously guided and protected by the Holy Spirit to do what she was given to do. You know, she said that every dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember that you have within you the strength, the patience, the passion to reach for the stars to change the world. And if you're asking yourself, how do I know what is mine to do? All right, this is what Harriet said about it. She said, it wasn't me. It was the Lord. I always told him, I trust you. I don't know where to go and what to do, but I expect you to lead me. and he always did. Okay. It was interesting. I had that in my talk before. I read that in yesterday's, Saturday's Signs of Mine, or Saturday or Friday's Signs of Mine, it actually had Harriet Tubman's story in there. So she was able to do what she did through the inner guidance of the Holy Spirit. If you're asking or thinking to yourself, you know, I'm not like Harriet Tubman, the answer is, you're right, you're not. So be still and listen for your own Holy Spirit guidance. You see what I'm saying? So your guides may not be to do things like she did, but, you know, find out what your guidance is by being still, asking that question, and listening. So when we allow the Holy Spirit to infiltrate our minds, the answer to the question, what's my goal here, begins to take shape. And through this realization, we will know the truth that will that all supply, all good, all love, all ideas come from God. And this is when we will become inspired by the Holy Spirit to make a significant difference in the world through our efforts to bring about peace and harmony. And I end by combining the affirmations from the Thursday 11:5 and the Friday 11:6 Science of Mind. And this is the affirmation. I am infinitely and continuously expanding. All right? The greatness within me cannot be measured. The divine within leads and guides me into my highest potential. And I am blessed. And let's add to that too, I am grateful. All right? And so it is. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So allow your eyes to gently close. Place your feet flat on the floor and straighten your spine as best you can. In the stillness of this moment, take a deep breath and allow your mind and body to relax. Just breathe and center yourself in the healing presence that is enfolding in you right now. Feel this loving presence of God as your body is infused with healing energy. The radiant power of love is yours in this and in every moment. You are whole, and you are holy, and ready to allow your body and mind to heal in mighty ways. The perfect life of God is flowing through your body right now, doing its work, cleansing, purifying, and healing anything that needs to be healed. Every atom of your body is an expression of pure spirit and contains wholeness and harmony. Feel it. Know it. Claim it now. Breathe and relax into the knowing that you are never alone. Feel the steady stream of healing energy and strengthening power that flows through you. You, dear one, are an expression of the divine presence of life itself. Take a deep breath and feel the comfort and ease in your mind, your body, and your spirit. Now take the next few moments to make that visit to the secret place of the Most High. And here you may give all your healing needs to the Holy Spirit, or you can just be still. We are so grateful, Holy Spirit, that you've heard our prayers this morning and then you have answered them as you always do. I invite you now to come back to the awareness of your surroundings. Open your eyes and see the world through spiritual eyes. Know that only love prevails. Only love prevails. Be at peace as you move back into your day. We hope you'll find that your unity experience today was a very blessed one. And we give thanks now in the name and nature of our elder brother and way shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, hon. Well, this is the time when we normally open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flowed into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. I will say the prosperity prayer. Well, we will say the prosperity prayer together. Mm-hmm. But just before we do that, we always want to give thanks to all of you for continuing to support Unity Center of Light. Like I said in the talk, these times are not going to end anytime soon. So this is our new normal for right now. It's an evolving normal, which means it's not going to stay the way it is, but we are not sure, none of us, what this is going to evolve into. So as we go through this process, we're continuously grateful for all of the support and donations that you send to Unity Center of Light. And with that, we want to say our affirmation together. Together we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. Do you have light notes?
Yes, we have some light notes. Tomorrow, Monday at 7 p.m., we will have our Courageous Conversations, and we have Michelle Senegal with us, and she will be facilitating the session. So it's at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. We hope you all will join us.
Zoom.
On Zoom, yes. And please, for all these announcements that I'm going to be making, just check your Zoom, check your Zoom links on the weekly updates or the e-newsletter. On November the 22nd, which is a Sunday, from 1 to 3, the Unity Light Book Light Club will be working with Marianne Williamson's book, Return to Love. On December the 6th, we will have a healing circle facilitated by Sherry Lumpkin and Chanel Smith, and there will be a doll-making ritual included in that. We ask that you let us know or register by the 23rd of this month so we can get the materials that are needed for the workshop. That'll be going from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. I have a question for you. Would you be interested in a virtual Christmas Eve candle lighting service with us? Okay, we were talking about that and we thought it might be a really blessed event, but we need you to let us know so that we can plan on how we're going to do this, okay? So that would be on Christmas Eve, a virtual candle lighting service. All the other events, as I mentioned before, are to be found in the e-newsletter and the weekly updates. That's all I have today for light notes.
All right. So now we are going to bless the path.
Yes.
All right.
And so we are going to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right.
Amen.
All right. So we have enjoyed being with you today. Again, we always like to invite you to the Zoom fellowship service, which is right after here, after this service. Hey, many people are watching in Zoom now, so if you're only watching on YouTube, we want to let you know that it does show up also on Zoom, where you can see all the wonderful faces of your Unity family.
That you've been missing.
You've been missing, right? We have discussion about the talk, the lesson. If you have questions about the lesson, we have really good discussion about that. Listen to good music. and just fellowship together. So please join us in that. Otherwise, we will see you next week, and have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.